This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Hello, guys, and welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris, and we are live on FUBAR Radio. How are you, El?
I'm great, Bobby. How are you? Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart. We're almost there.
Mm-hmm. Very close.
Are you ready for it?
I'm feeling festive. The studio is dressed in festive gear, so it's kind of helping. And I've worn a Christmas jumper. So do you know what? I'm balls deep.
I didn't get... She's always balls deep. But that's another show. Find Ellen on OnlyFans. No, I wish. She's recently married. Anyway, as you know by now, guys, diehard Access All Areas fans, I always bring you the tea, obviously, and a jam-packed show, and tonight is no different. I'm going to be talking with RuPaul 2024 winner Kyron Frax and Ruben Collins from Love Island. But to start the show, we like a little bit of showbiz gossip, and we are joined by Ava, and she's going to give us a little roundup of this week's celeb gossip. So, Ava, darling, what's going down in showbiz town?
Lots is going to be occurring on the Gavin's Day Christmas special. Scriptures have been released for the final episode, which will be aired on Christmas Day. The cast members, of course, are keeping their lips sealed at the moment. We've got Matthew Horne, who plays Gavin, saying it will be nothing short of a masterpiece. And Ruth Jones, who plays Nesso, said it's sad, of course, as this will be the last time these characters will ever be seen on screen.
Oh. I love that it's back.
I love it's back.
The way it was left in the cliffhanger,
iconic.
I'm like, I need to know more. Do you think that we're going to actually have an ending to Gavin and Stacey this time around, or do you know, is this still speculation?
Well, it's still very much up in the air. It's possible, obviously we know Nessa proposed to Smithy in the last episode, so I think fans are hoping for a conclusion on that one. It's also 17 years down the line now for Gavin and Stacey's marriage, so maybe we'll be seeing how it's going for them. Lots of
17 years, fucking hell, I weren't even born.
Yes, yeah. I know, actually that's mad. It's hard to think that, you know, they've been going for that long, but I don't know. I hope Nessa and Smithy are like, they get together. I just want Smithy to go, yes,
I
Nessa,
don't know if it's the diehard Gavin and Stacey fan, but my conclusion, if it has to come to an end, and I would quite happily every Christmas sit there noshing pigs in blankets, even when they're 102.
Yeah.
I would take that every Christmas like we do EastEnders. But I know they are saying, like, we're Romeo done, this really is the last. So I hope that we're going to go out on... But I don't
something
know.
Big. It has to be something big.
Because I've seen some pap shots, but I don't know. I mean, this ain't their first rodeo.
Yeah.
But there were some pap shots of Ruth Jones, Nessa. And she wasn't in costume, but she had a wedding ring on. I don't know if she was wearing a wedding dress. I don't think she was. But I think she must have been in between scenes. And we know what paps are like.
Yes. But wasn't she due to get married to someone else at that time as well?
Yeah, so this is the tea. So
who does she marry?
Who she marries. And the thing is, I feel like with something like this, they will, because the paps are there, are like, they're sitting up shop.
That's what I'm saying.
In Barry.
They're not stupid.
They're not stupid. They will record two or three different endings for it, and I'd say the cast won't even know what the ending will be until Christmas Day. Watch this space.
I'm just going to have a really fucking bad Boxing Day if they don't get married.
Stop, how annoying. Like, they need to get married.
But whatever happens, I'm just grateful that A. James has come back to UK soil.
Yes.
And that they've even given us this, because how many years has it been? 5?
Since they've recorded the last
one, it was like two or three.
Was it 2020?
Oh, I'm not too sure. Yeah, it was more than a couple of years ago.
I think it was pre-COVID times.
Guys, I think
19 or 20.
COVID has done something to my brain where I have no sense of time. And literally, 2020 was last year. And, you know, we're all just recovering from the pandemic 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We still are.
It could have been 10 years ago. I don't know. But it's been a long time coming. And I'm glad it's
here. Hopes and prayers. ties to Smithy and Nessa.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, there's a lot of speculation as to why it's come back in terms of James Corden's incentive. You know, some people are saying it's his trump card. This is maybe why he's brought it back. Like, after his US career, he's now trying to make it back in the limelight in the UK, but it's all speculation. So,
do you think, I know this is totally off topic, but do you think he has, like, to make his way back in to society in the UK? Do you think that, like, I feel like Irish people and people from the UK are kind of similar in terms of, like,
why Irish?
Fancy pants, because this is the way I'd be if I went home. But it'd be like, ooh, fancy pants, off in the US doing, like, you know, shows and that. Like, you're going to have to work hard to get back in here. Or would they welcome him with open arms?
Well, he had a fucking good career. Do you know what? You've got to give people their flowers when they're due flowers.
Yeah, for sure.
And I will bring him flowers in the pouring rain. It's so iconic. Like, he had that show for years. Like, there's not many Brits that fuck off to the States
and make it
and land and a gig it. Like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And from what we know, I'm assuming it was on his terms and he bowed out because his kids were getting older and his parents are getting older.
Well, he was on about the gun laws, right? And his kids going to school and stuff. And he said, you know what? I just feel safer in the UK. And I don't blame you, mate. And I'm glad that he came back because now we have Gavin and Stacey. But I actually hope I'll see him do more stuff. I want to see him present some show. Like,
yeah, of course. But let's move on from guns because it's Christmas. She's the fucking kiss of death. Sorry, Ava. What else has caught your eye? Anything more cheerful? Because it's Jesus' birthday.
More cheerful. Well, we've got the 28 years later as the first of a trilogy as a sequel to 28 Days Later. And the trailer was just released. So this is a horror movie sequel. But
Merry Christmas,
Mariah.
Calm down.
But the what's caught people's eye is... fans are guessing at the moment what Cillian Murphy's role will be in this, because obviously he had the titular role in the first movie, and fans have spotted what appears to be a zombie reincarnation of Murphy looking a little worse for wear, and at the moment it's very much up in the air as to whether that could be a reprisal of his role.
Is he the salt from Peaky Blinders?
Yes. And can I just say, as an Irish person, it's Cillian Murphy. It's Cillian Murphy, but when I hear Americans, they always say Cillian Murphy.
Most amazing eyes.
I'm
obsessed with him.
He's one of these characters that's, like, not traditionally good looking.
I wouldn't want him. I wouldn't. If I was in Boots getting a meal deal, I wouldn't give him the steam off my piss. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
But in Peaky Blinders, I'm yours, darling.
It's about the character, right? And the personas that he plays. Oh. And his personas and his characters are always really hot. But
he should be an actor.
Yeah, he should be an actor. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Well, I think you may change your mind if you saw his zombie reincarnation.
I'm not a zombie bitch.
So what can we expect from this movie?
So we know it's very much it's very ominous at the moment. Everything's kind of left kind of up to interpretation, but we know that Jodie Comer is going to star in it.
I love her.
Yeah,
not sexually. I love her.
Also Aaron Taylor-Johnson and
He's a so well.
Yeah, that's true.
Fucking hell, this is
how Bobby measures talent.
Because ain't he shagging Lily Allen's mum?
Oh, I don't know.
That is something I am not.
Allegedly, in case.
Yeah. Is this what we're... oh, my God. Have you got the scoop? Is this an exclusive?
No, maybe I should be... oh, hold on. Allegedly. No, I think it is.
I actually just don't know, but I don't know. We'll Google it after this.
I'm looking for confirmation. We don't know. So we're going to take that as alleged.
Well, actually, if Bobby said it, take us back. It's fact, guys. You've heard of her first.
Yeah.
Also,
she's trying to get me sued.
Don't come to Access All Areas if you're looking for facts. We only deal with speculation.
Access Allegedly Areas.
Yeah, we should have called the show Speculation.
Sorry, I've continued.
No, so that's what we've got at the moment. And yeah, they can all be seen fighting off zombies in the trailer. It's a very creepy trailer. If you haven't seen it already, I would recommend.
I did see the trailer. It does look, and it's very left field for him as an actor. So I think it'll be really interesting to watch.
Definitely.
Just going.
So, I'm just turned off. I get a limp dink with zombies.
Zombies, yeah, they're not a turn on.
No, not for me.
There's a reason they're left out of the porn industry.
I need a couple of blueies for that. Right, moving on, Aves. Christmas time, anything positive going on there that ain't dead people?
I mean, we've also got, so Keira Knightley did an interview with Los Angeles talking about her new role in Black Doves, which has just come out, where she plays an assassin. It's like a witty, blood-spattered spy thriller. And she said that her teenage self would have been thrilled with this role and seen it as very cool. And in this interview, she also spoke about Love Actually and being 17 at the time and how that felt filming some of the scenes. Specifically, she talked about the cue card scene with Andrew Lincoln, which is obviously a very heartwarming scene for a lot of people. But she also said that she found the scene at the time quite creepy. And I mean, the character that Andrew Lincoln plays could be seen as potentially quite stalkerish anyway. And so obviously Keira Knightley's very close with Richard Curtis now anyway, but they had to reshoot the scene a few times, apparently, is what she told.
Isn't it interesting that we felt uncomfortable at 17?
Was she only 17?
She was 17, when they filmed it. And
That was the way in Hollywood. There was kids 15 and 16 in Hollywood, and they would be playing older people. And
17? God, I was bombing about in my little K.A.
I know. Yeah. But how poignant that she felt uncomfortable. She's 17, there's adults around her. Mm-hmm. None of them felt uncomfortable, which is confusing.
The showbiz. Ava, thank you so much for coming into Access All Areas. Merry Christmas, darling.
Christmas.
We'll have you back in 2025. Guys, we're going to take a little break and then we are going to be joined for a little interview. And we're going to be talking to Kyron Frack. See you in two.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, "John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets?" I went back to the bloke, said, "Yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do." What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, "I got you, mate." It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. contact your GP practice.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the
cray,
truth.
Cray.
And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle.
It is.
I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Where are you up to these days with your debt? You said it was at 37,000.
It was at 37. It's been a roller coaster. So I had £37,000 worth of debt, which I then paid back over about 5.5 months. I then continued to work for a few more months, and then I quit my job and went completely freelance. And I had a terrible, terrible year and got back into debt. Fortunately, 2024 has been much kinder, and I'm earning a really good amount each month through my freelance work. But yeah, I'm back on the paying off a huge chunk of debt journey, which is currently stands at about 44,000.
Every Monday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me now, I have Claire Seal, who is a content creator and author.
You know, I think there's loads of shame when it comes to money and financial difficulty, but I honestly think that that shame is really a symptom of the judgment that exists in society. I don't think that people are feeling ashamed for the sake of it. I think they're feeling ashamed because you can't really sort of open your phone or open a newspaper without seeing these huge judgments piled on people who've made mistakes with money. And I think it's acceptable for people to slag you off about being bad with money in a way that it might not be for like other mistakes that you might make.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
Let's bring in Tobias Elwood, former defence minister.
Rishi Sunak has done well to pivot us back, taken us into far calmer political waters.
Has he taken you back into calmer political waters? I mean, you're on track, according to some of the polls, to the largest wipeout in years, and, you know, may never return from it. I mean, how has he taken you back into calmer political waters?
We've just seen inflation go down to 2%. Confidence in business is returning.
But is that down to Rishi Sunak?
You've got to let me finish the question. You keep asking me a question and then throwing another question in.
I'm just curious to know, is inflation down to Rishi Sunak?
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
I have this stunning Steph Williams with me now, founder of the We Glow app. I did turf games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. But it was so fun. But it was like savage, right? Yeah. But I wasn't the best in the room, and I hate that. And I was like, oh, God, I haven't trained like well enough for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't normally think I am. But then when I was there, I was like, this is so annoying. Because, and then I was like, why do I actually need to be good at this, though? Yeah. Like, can I not just do it for fun?
But also, it's like when I've done like classes and stuff before, and the blokes were like, lift that heavier weight. And I'm like, no, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to lift the heavier weight. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what works for my body.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of, like, I know what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're working out to feel good, you're going to look good.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Politics Uncensored.
Welcome to Access All Areas. We are back and we are live on FUBAR Radio, and we are joined by Chiron. How are you, darling?
Hello, my darling. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Your outfit's giving me life.
Yes, I love it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just a little vampy.
Just bring in the glam. How is everything going for you? Because it's busy, busy times.
Yeah, I mean, it has been an absolute whirlwind. Like, this past week, I've not really had time to catch my breath yet. But I feel amazing. I feel on top of the world. I feel 25K richer, baby. I'm having a good time. I'm just kind of running from city to city, doing my thing, meeting all of the amazing, lovely people. And I'm just very grateful.
Busy bitch.
We love to see it. Can you tell us a bit more about the origins of your drag persona? Because I'm seeing it right now and damn, it is good.
Basically, I don't know, it kind of came around when I was in like my second year of drama school. I was just playing around with makeup, and then one of my like housemates came in and was like, you always love makeup, you're a performer, you're a bit weird, why don't you just put everything together and see what happens. So she's kind of responsible for the birth of Kyron.
Wow.
It kind of just came from like me loving kind of like alternative, weird, like horror, I don't know, and just makeup. It came from makeup. But I always feel like, I say this a lot as well, I always feel like Kyron was kind of around much longer than when she actually first went on stage. Like, because when I was like 13, I was like slapping on bright orange makeup and like platform creepers and backcombing my hair and going into Catholic high school. So I feel like Kyron's always kind of been there and been a part of my life. But she was officially put on stage in 2019 in a dingy East London basement.
I know the East End well, but I want to ask you, how has life been post-show on social media? Because as much as I love it, and I think some people think I'm always here to bash it because of trying to change laws and things, and actually not changing, making laws, but that's a different show. I'm not doing politics today. But social is a fucking dark place, excuse my language. How have you found that? Have you come across shit online?
Thankfully, not too much, really.
Oh, God.
Like, you know, like, fans are wild, people are very opinionated, and people love to get involved and share their opinions. And listen, like, I like to surround myself with love. I like to surround myself with support. I feel like there's so many people with so much love and support. So I just choose to see that. And, you know, if there is anything else that I stumble across, I'll just, you know, I'll just brush it off.
No, I don't mean like fans. Obviously, fans are there. We love them. We love that. But what I mean is, sorry, maybe I've said it wrong, in terms of trolls, because sometimes, like, fans are always lovely, but there is a really dark side. And I find it weird in 2024 or whatever year it is, 20 anything, that we have people that are fucking that hateful and abusive because of who someone goes to bed with. Behind closed doors, does it really bother you? Do you ever get that, or have you been really lucky? If so, I'm grateful and I'm happy for you.
I'm sure I have, but it is, you know, it's one of those things that I just choose not to take it on board. Like, I've got so much love and so much support, and I just want to focus on that, and I just want to give my time and energy to that. So if I do see any comments or any messages or anything like that, it's just getting a block because I'm not giving any of my energy.
You're dead right. It's 2024. We don't have time for that anymore. Like, just block them and move on with your life. I like it. This is how we should be moving into 2025, I think. Just ignoring the haters.
Some of those things need to be said, though, like in terms of changing laws and making laws.
Yeah,
I think when someone's outside your house threatening to petrol bomb it and they're outside your house, I think you should say something.
100%. But that's why we view Bobby. You're making both laws.
Also, I think I don't care if you're gay, straight, fucking bi, tied. You know what I mean? I just think, like, we're in a world now where that there's people that are cats. Fucking hell, like, just be happy with the world, just be good people.
For sure. Can you actually tell us about your journey? Like, do you know, drag is like powerful in self-expression, and how did you first discover that this is what you wanted to do and you wanted to become a drag performer?
I've always been a performer, and I always knew from literally like the age of 13 when I first did a panto in school, and I was like, oh, I think this is for me. and then it was like I said, when I was in drama school in my second year, I just started to play around with it, and I was thankfully, like, my training was so lovely and there were so many things that I could incorporate into my drag. And I wrote a solo show as a drag queen, and that was kind of one of my like final projects at drama school. And then I just fell in love with it. And the thing is with drag, it's kind of a trap anyway. Like, I feel like you start it and you're kind of like, okay, I'll give this a try. And then boom, it takes over your entire existence. And I could not be more grateful or happier that that is what has happened here. Like, my loves are drag and acting, and I'm very grateful that I get to do both, sometimes together, sometimes separate. So it's all of it's down to my drama school training, really. They brought this monster out.
It's all drama, isn't it? But I want to ask you, because I mean, I think I'm probably like 6 or 7 months older than you, but I want to ask, because I remember when I was teenage Bobby going to Gran Canaria, for instance, the famous Jumbo Centre. And I'll say, my family, we're East End. I'm the first gay in the family. And they're very accepted. Obviously, they're amazing. But I, especially back then, I think it was more of not a bigger deal, but I think it's a lot for any family to accept, yeah. Especially if you're kind of from an area or a family that mm-hmm. is... You don't really want your son or your grandson fucking slut dropping with geezers in a nightclub. Mm. So I want to ask, because it really fascinates me in terms of moving forward where we are now. The situation is that people watch, and I'm glad for Drag Race, because people watch that show with their families, kind of like what Strictly is. You kind of get kids watching with parents. And I think education is key, and I think that's the only way to bash out transphobia, mm-hmm. homophobia, racism. What we know is normal.
Yeah.
So yeah. Back in the day where everyone was like, oh, anti-everything, until you start seeing people on a Saturday night dancing around with mm-hmm. fucking Claudia.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
And Tess.
You need two geezers dancing
sure.
about. That's how we're going to learn.
Yeah.
What do you find in terms of that? Because you must be aware that you're kind of changing people's lives.
Perspectives on everything, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just very grateful that I've been given this platform. I'm mm-hmm. very grateful that queer art has been given this platform.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much representation. We can always push for more representation. And that's what I mean. I feel like people are like spew hatred to things that they don't understand, or they've been told something and they just believe it. Do you know what I mean? And they've never been around this kind of thing. So I feel like exposure is the best thing. And the fact that we're on mainstream media is just everything and more.
What do your family think of that?
Sorry?
What do your family think of that? Is everybody supportive, or is it a mixed bag?
No, it really is. So I have a very small family. It's just me, my mum, and my dad, and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out as gay when I was 13. So I was mm-hmm. very, you know, I was very, very young. And my mum was immediately from the get-go, she was like, firstly, I kind of thought this was going to happen anyway, because I was just like dancing around and choreographing numbers to
the signs were there.
Love her.
Yeah, fully. Really? So I was like, surely she knows, you know what I mean? So she did. And then, yeah, I mean, all of my family has been very, very supportive. And they've always kind of championed me and let me be. I know I've been very privileged and very lucky in that respect. And they've really, you know, supported every kind of thing that I want to do, and that I owe so much to them for, you know, embracing me and for putting me on the right path for success and always letting me express myself, because, you know, it's got me here.
Wow, fair play.
So I want to ask you, like, and don't cancel me, because we live in a world now where we have to ask questions, like, and even as someone from the community, I don't always know. So in terms of when it comes to dating and relationships, how do you find, like, if you go on a date, I don't, whatever app we use, do you find it hard, A, because of now your profile, and B, the world we're in, having a profile, and where we're at in terms of labels? Because it's a head fuck.
Mm.
I find it odd as just a gay man. I've got friends that are just straight people. I think dating's hard, but when you then you come into our world, I mean, I'm not a drag queen, but it becomes a hell of a lot harder. How do you find dating?
Well, I have actually, this is kind of a boring question.
Oh, sorry, darling.
No. Do you want to... because it's a boring answer. You're going to get a boring answer because I have been in a relationship for like 7 years.
All right. Okay.
But I mean, in terms of you aside, but our world we're in, I'm sure, you're in our industry with people and on a whole TV show with people in our world. Say our world under our community. Do you see what they're saying? Because it is hard.
I guess so. I think, I don't know, with a show like Drag Race, like there is, you know, the fans are, I feel like people, I don't know. I guess it's kind of more difficult anyway when you have like a profile and people know you, or if people are, I guess, fans of you. I guess, you know, in the queer community, like so many people watch Drag Race. So I guess for some people, it probably is a little bit harder to kind of like get past that barrier of like, oh, is this person interested in me because they're a fan and they've seen what I've done on the show? Or is this person interested in me because they're actually interested in me?
Is that something you found since you've won season 6? Have you seen a change in people around you or people who want to befriend you? Have you noticed a shift?
Not really, to be honest. Like, I feel like, there's always that kind of element of when you, like, people think that you're a weirdo until you make it. Right. And then when you make it, everyone's suddenly like, oh my gosh, you're amazing.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of things like that where it's like, you know, I noticed like certain people that wouldn't have supported me before or didn't have any time for me before, but now do suddenly. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, I'm not a naive person. I usually understand people's kind of like, you know, I take people at face value. And I feel like a lot of people have just been really lovely and supportive, to be honest.
You've been lucky, darling.
So good. Amazing. That's so good.
Because, I mean, touching upon, it's not even so much just coming from showbiz world, because which we're in, but I kind of just meant our world as, I don't know, are we still classed as a minority? I think we probably are.
I feel like I'd rather be gay than straight. Oh.
Be careful what you wish for.
I think you've taken over now.
But I kind of mean, like, showbiz aside, I think maybe just your friends and also move just on a sidebar from that. And again, because how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? You should never ask a lady how old she is, I know.
I am 26.
26. Oh, so you're a lot older than me. But I want to ask you one thing, because, and this is kind of where, and I'm really consciously, and I've never really spoke about this, but I'm going to do it on air. I've never spoke about it because I grew up, one of my most horrendous, when I was growing up, as someone a lot younger than you, queer was a really derogatory term, and I'm kind of a bit traumatised by it. How do you feel, and I love and I embrace you girls, guys and non-binaries that come onto the scene and you don't give a shit and you use that word and you own it, and I think that's when you take the shit and the geography out of something. But for me, to be honest here, and I'm sat on my chair but as the little old gay man at 18, saying I was so traumatised, and I still, this, the word queer, it had such a bad connotation to me. How do you guys that are that little bit older than me feel about someone saying, I don't, not that I don't like that word as in don't use it, but do you kind of think, because I could never openly say that because I was so ashamed of that. Has anyone ever said that to you?
No, but I have seen people have that conversation before.
Oh.
And I guess, I guess it is just kind of like it's just a generational thing. Like in terms of when I was growing up, from the moment that I came out, it was kind of a word that was used as like an umbrella term for like LGBTQIA. And you know, I never fortunately experienced that word being used in a derogatory way to me. I had a lot of other words, but not necessarily that word. And I guess for me, what it would be is, you know, just having a conversation with people, and, you know, like, that word isn't, I don't see it in the same way, just because we've all experienced things differently. But mm-hmm. if I was with somebody who told me that, you know, that word is triggering to them or upsets or offends them, then it's just about people telling me that. And, you know, if somebody said, I'd appreciate you if you didn't use that word, then I'd know going forward not to use that word.
So from your age group and your generation, and you said there's words that you've encountered, because again, it's all cycle, it's like fashion, isn't it? What is now the, it sounds weird saying, but what's the slur now? Because it was queer, is that the always slur. A queer?
Yeah.
What's the slur now? Because now that's kind of, and I kind of love it that now it's been owned. So you kind of, you're like two fingers up.
Yeah.
What is now the...
I don't even, is like, I'm not going to answer this for you, but is there a slur? Like, I haven't heard.
Oh, Cole says a slur. Cole says.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be the F slur, which is what we heard growing up. And also just the word gay being used in a derogatory way, like that was, you know, something that happened so much growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Babe, thank you so much. Honestly, thank you for coming on to Access. You look stunning.
I know, I love.
I feel a little bit inspired. I feel like I need to WhatsApp you and get a little bit more details from you.
Same.
But have the most amazing Christmas.
Thank you.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Happy Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.
Guys. Ow.
The red gloves as well, very festive. I love that.
Very, very festive. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be joined by Holly from Married at First Sight UK. See you in two.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way from this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you. What's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the truth. And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Bar Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me in the studio was AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
When I used to go on Strictly, I used to think of it as like a public service. I'm entertaining somebody for 90
and
seconds.
And we salute you.
And
thank
just like,
you, AJ.
I want people to forget about their problems. I know it's a really weird mentality.
No, it's a. You are right in a way, right? Because there
but
are
you
people
never made
that
the final.
There was no need for that. Well,
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant Adam Maxted and professional wrestler, may I add. If you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
I'm trying to think who would be.
Someone needs to like, be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus, really? Yeah. You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match. Yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
TikTok sensations Jack and Sorrel. Iconically, there have been some amazing celeb couples. Who would be your favourite of all times?
David Beckham and Victoria.
Girls.
I just think like the twists and turns of it all, but still being together like that, that to me is peak celeb.
For me, do you know what? I just love a good power couple. We had Beyonce, Jay-Z. Like,
yes.
I want them to reign highly. I want them to be girl bossing, man bossing, just bossing throughout, and us obsessed with them separately and together.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Welcome back to Fubar Radio. I'm Bobby Norris and we are live on Access All Areas. And we are joined by Ruben. How are you, Rubes?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Really good. Nice to speak with you again, mate.
Oh, yeah, lovely to speak with you too. And I've got to say, I absolutely loved you on SAS.
Didn't he smash it?
Proud of what you did and your journey on there. What the heck?
He smashed it, right? I know.
Oh, thank you, Robin. I've just got to say, I love what you're wearing right now. you're giving me... I wanted to marry Prince Harry, but obviously that didn't work out. Fucking Meghan turned up and she nicked my man, but we won't fucking judge the bitch. Robe, you look like Prince Charming. What's going on? Is this just a normal Wednesday outfit?
I wish this was my everyday outfit. Long story short, I'm currently in a pantomime. I'm in the Big Pems Panto in Wales. And I'm currently playing Prince Charming. So I think that's quite appropriate for the clothing.
From Love Island to Prince Charming.
I'm currently between rehearsals.
So. Oh, my God. Love
that. So this is where we're bonded, Ro, because I don't start till January. But I do adult panto because I've got a little bit of a mouth on me. And I, for the second year running consecutively, is it?
Yes, yeah. That's it.
It's second hard to say round. With an is. You come back from Istanbul and try and say that with a mouthful of an is. I'm Prince Charming as well.
You are. You have your own panto, don't you, Bobby?
We're two princes. Ruben, if you was on the other bus, who knows? We could make our own pantomime.
There you go.
But you keep breaking me heart.
Raymond says, thank you. What a polite boy.
we love the robes.
Where's your panto, Bobby? Is it in Essex?
It's in Brentwood, guys. Yeah, little plug. It's Brentwood Theatre, and I am playing, obviously, Prince Charming, or Prince of Essex, because Harry's in Calabasas.
Oh, wow. Mm.
No, he's not. He's in Montecito.
Montecito.
And Will's got a lot on his plate now. Brentwood Theatre, check it out. Follow me on social at Bobby C. Norris. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Anyway,
what
back
a plug.
To Robes.
I want to see a prince off between Ruben and Bobby. Oh. There has to be a TikTok or something where we can vote who's the best prince.
We need Ruben to actually come into the studio.
Yeah, okay, Ruben, you need to do that.
We've got to go chin to chin.
I think he looks scared, actually. He looks terrified.
He's got better teeth than me, and I bet he's a God-given.
So, Ruben, what have you been up to since Love Island? Obviously, you're doing panto now, so you've went from reality TV into acting. And are you hoping to go on the acting trail? What else is happening after this?
Yeah, no, so sort of in terms of my journey since, I feel like I've been here, there and everywhere. I've been on trips, I've been to Dubai, I've been Ibiza, I've been doing a lot of charity football as well, with like celebrity soccer. We recently had a game in the London Stadium, which was nice.
You've been brassing.
Yeah, I feel like I've been here, there and everywhere. And I think obviously I'm doing the pantomime now, which for me is just like, a lot of people be like, oh, why are you doing a panto? But I love theatre. I love it. And I remember being young, watching pantos when I was younger. So when this opportunity came along, I was like, yeah, like this is right up my street. Like, so I literally fun. Love it. My sister, like in my household, theatre is a big thing. My sister's currently in the West End. She's the first cover for the main lady in Moulin Rouge. Ooh. So like in our house, we love a bit of drama, love a bit of theatre. But
I love it.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I've got a few things in the pipeline for next year, but I'm a big believer in sort of, well, you know what the industry's like.
Yeah.
Until it's all set in stone, you're actually doing it. It's better to keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut. So, Rob, you're Prince Charming. So I've got to ask you, and it's Access All Areas. So I'm going to say this. It's no geography, but... who's the prince? Are you shagging on the firm? are you having a little go? Has anyone caught your eye on the company? Because we know what goes down in Panto Town, and this is Access All Areas. So are you having a go on the princess, the maid?
Well, although we do have very lovely ladies in our cast, but I like to keep it professional in the workplace. I'll save my shenanigans for outside the workplace.
So we need to do a panto together then.
Oh, 100%. I would love to do a panto with you, Bobby. I bet. Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what. I need to come and watch yours.
That's who would be the princess and who would be the prince?
Oh, I'll be the princess for Rose.
You'd love that. No worries.
Yeah. I'll be your princess. I'll put a wig on and everything. I'm good at contour. Fucking Kim KO.
So Rube.
The most attractive princess, Bobby.
Oh, he would. Mr. Twinkletoes.
I love him.
Mr. Twinkletoes. So, taking it back to your Love Island days, which seem like years ago now, doesn't it? Like, even for me, it feels like since our last, it feels like you were in, like, a few seasons ago, not just the latest one. But with that show, would you have rathered come, so say you were the winner of that show, would you have rather like found love on the show and come out with that and still been in love right now, found your forever love, or won the prize money? Tell us the truth, come on.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, for me, I'm a lover boy.
Really?
I'm a lover boy. Money comes, money goes, but if you can find yourself the right one, oh my gosh.
And
that
is there,
for me, that'd be the dream.
Is there anyone that you're dating right now, or is there anyone on the scene, or is there few girls on the
me.
Scene?
Me.
Sorry.
Rope, she's Daily Mail. I love the Daily Mail, but she always wants the exclusive. I've told you on the DL.
It's you guys.
It's me and Rope. We're
so
the
sorry.
Prince Charming.
I know, true.
We've got something special.
How dare I? But you can tell me later, Ruben.
Sorry. Now, break me out. Who else are you seeing apart from me, Ruben?
Oh God! You know what? Honestly, I've been so busy. I've been
here and everywhere. With all them birds.
I can sense the jealousy. You could cut the jealousy with a knife in this room.
I'll share my prince.
Yeah, no, I've been busy. I've had a lot of things on. So in terms of the dating scene. I've been here and there, but
there he is.
I think when the right person comes along, then I think all you lot will know. So
we'll find out, Bobby. It's not up to you, mate.
Have they not come along yet, Rube? Even though they've interviewed you twice.
Oh, mate.
Honestly, he's looking increasingly more awkward. so, Ruben, can you fill us in? I've been following you on social media, obviously, since the last time that we spoke on the show, and you have been busy. You've been here, there, everywhere. You're meeting up with the Islanders. You're doing loads together. You're getting close to some Islanders that you weren't as close with on the show. Mm. Tell me, have any of the... relationships on the show on Love Island blossomed since Love Island, like even more?
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I think like gosh, I'm friends with so many people now from it. Because, like, for example, when I come out, like, for example, like Munvir, I wasn't even in Villa with him, but we're so close. Mm. I think me and Connor get along really well. So I think in terms of that, like, that we were already tight in there, if that makes sense. But mm-hmm. like the sort of the new relationships, I guess, Munvir, Hugo as well, because we weren't in there a long time together, but we've been sort of really close throughout. Me and Sean have got quite close sort of outside a bit as well. Yeah, I think also people from other series and stuff, like, for example, previous series, Josh DeGrove, like, the names are endless, like, God, or even like, for example, I'm trying to think who else.
How are you
like,
guys?
Sam Taylor, oh my gosh, Sam Taylor, Matilda, Abby Moore's there.
What about Harriet? Mate, I've seen you a few times with Harriet. Looks like you guys are pretty close.
Pardon?
Harriet, you guys look pretty close on your socials.
Harriet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, Harriet. I think Harriet's a lovely girl as well. Like, honestly,
nah.
I think.
Joking.
Bobby's just feeling jealous right now.
I'm joking. Lovely girl. Skit. No, I'm joking.
With me, I'm just good vibes. I'm positive. So, like, everyone from the show, like, I don't really have a bad word to say about anyone. Like, and yeah. I think since, like, the only. I'd be close with everyone, to be honest. But it's just, you know how it is. Like, life just gets in the way.
Of course it does.
Further away and stuff. So you normally tend to be around the people that live nearby you and you're at the same events and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, when I can, I'll still see everyone and try and meet up and stuff. But, yeah, it's just seeing how it goes. But it's nice to, like, the friendships I've made out of it is really nice.
So, Roby, I've got to ask, obviously, I know we spoke before, fresh out of the villa, but what's the situation? Because obviously now, not only I'm guessing you've digested the experience, you've seen all the socials, I'm guessing you've probably dipped the little wick into watching the odd episode, or maybe you've binged a whole lot. Who is, bearing in mind this is Access All Areas,
yeah.
Who is the biggest Jekyll from the series? Like, if people don't know, Jekyll, like, Snide. Who's the fake of the firm? Out of the villa, people that you've lived with, because bearing in mind, you can live with them, you know them 24-7, you know their character, but then you come out and then you see them on TV, and we all know them people that you think you know someone, but on TV they're, like, portraying someone else.
Is there anyone in their kind of...
Oh, there's always someone out there, and there's always someone...
I'm trying to think. Is anyone? Oh, see, this is the wrong person to ask the question to because I'm just good vibes. I'm trying to think.
Now you can be good vibes, but you can call honest. Someone out if someone's a Jekyll, they're a Jekyll.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. It's difficult because I've only really, I'm gonna be real, I've only really had good experiences, like.
Mm.
or even in terms of, it's not even experiences to you, but like when you live with people and you know their character when you live with them and then you see the persona that is edited on TV, I'm not saying they're Jekyll to you, but who is not the realist in terms of living with, in terms of the character they're playing on TV?
Well, I don't know if this kind of counts, but, like, for example, I watched back a few episodes, and on the show, like, Jess White was literally, like, they made her to look like a proper, or, like, she came across quite, I don't know, she didn't come across the best, but she is, like, the loveliest person ever. I'm not, she's the loveliest person ever, but, like, I don't know, in terms of the other way round.
Yeah, what's the vice versa? It's all very nice to talk about the positives, but let's have it right. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
We want the tea, darling. Come on, Prince. From one prince to the other, from Harry to William.
I'm sorry. I'm like, and it's one of them, like, I think the way I am, I generally just don't have negative vibes in my life.
So, Ruben,
negative people, they'll just stay clear of me.
So, Ruben, if you could swap lives with any Islander, not just in your season, but any other season, like somebody who's smashed it in your eyes and done really well, who would it be and why?
Okay. I'll probably say someone that I quite sort of like their sort of how they've done outside of it and try and sort of follow in their path is Josh Denzel. I really admire the way that he's really gone in terms of his like sports presenting and in terms of all that kind of thing. Mm. I think for me, because I would look to sort of get into a bit of that as well, because I'm naturally sort of, well, I play football and stuff, that's sort of in my sort of like area of expertise. Yeah. But I really love the way he smashed it. Like, I still haven't actually managed to speak to him yet, but when I do get the chances, I'm just going to be like, you have smashed it. I think you've absolutely blown it out of the park.
Amazing.
Rose, well, one prince to another.
Thank you
for spilling some tea. Always lovely to catch up with you. Got a lot of time
likewise,
for you, mate.
Likewise.
Thank you, Rose.
Have the most amazing Christmas. Best of luck with Panto. And
likewise for you. I'm going to come down and watch yours.
Come
as well.
Down, January, Brentwood Theatre. I'm there.
Okay, and likewise, I'm in the Boulevard Theatre in Milford Haven.
Shout it out.
Panto, Snow White. Prince
it's a prince. Off,
absolutely, Robes. Take care. Speak to you soon. Bye, mate.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my love.
It's Christmas. One more week, and then we're slut dropping around the tree.
Ta-da!
Wait.